Father God, Lord, just this day, Lord, we come before you, Father, as your people. We come before you, Lord, with grateful hearts. Father, because you are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords. In all things, you are in control. In all things, Father God, you are preeminent, Lord God. You have lordship over every circumstance, over every situation, over every plan and thought in the hearts of men. And so, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we just commit this time into your hands. We commit, Father, everything that is said, let it be by your Spirit and unto your plan and purpose. Father, I continue to diminish and get out of the way so that your Spirit would have free reign. Lord, we bind every demonic force and every work of the enemy, and we cast it out. And we do pray, Father, that you would have your way in and through all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So yes, so forgive me for the muffled noise. That's just the cold. So if you need me to repeat, I can. Okay. So it's been a little while since I've seen you. How have you been? Ken. How? Is God good? Is all things going well? Yes? Okay. I thought something might have changed since I've seen you last. No, God is always good in every situation. You know, and sometimes we go through difficult times. But those are all according to God's plan and purpose. So I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus in Haiti. Do you know you have family on the other side of the world? And they love you very much. And they're engaged in a similar struggle, in a similar fight, in pressing on towards the mark of the high calling which God has for them. Do you know that there are people in that country that pray for us? Because when they know about you, they pray for you. There are people that saw the news about the floods and were concerned about the people of Sri Lanka in that country. Do you know that you are part of the body of Christ which fills the whole earth? And the work that you and I do, the ministry that we fulfill as we are led by the Spirit of God, accomplishes a kingdom purpose that is far greater than anything that you can imagine or expect. And as long as you and I remain obedient to what God has revealed to us, your life will have fulfilled the purpose that God destined and planned for it, despite what it might look like on the surface. Yeah, I spent a few days before I came back with a wonderful friend who owns a bookstore in Connecticut. For a wonderful friend who owns a bookstore in the States. And she has been friends with she's been friends over the years with some amazing people. How many of you have ever heard of Richard Wurmbrand? Or A.W. Tozer. You've heard these names. These have all been her friends over the years. And when she told me some about their lives and how they felt, you know, as like she was telling me, even with Tozer, towards the end of his life, in some respects he felt like he was a failure, like he hadn't done what he was... He felt, he didn't feel like he had, there was something he was struggling with. And yet today, his writings are some of the most powerful voices for the church and where the church should be and the focus of the church. Richard Wurmbrand is the founder of Voices of the Martyrs, or
Richard Wurmbrand is the Voices of the
Martyrs. Voice of the Martyrs. Yeah. And he spent 14 years in jail in Romania. For his faith. Amazing man of God. Amazing struggles and trials that he went through for his faith. And God, as they walked, as these men, as we, all of us, because these are the only difference between them and a typical person is that they chose to follow God to the end, where many people get off early because they don't like the road. Because see, Jesus, as the good shepherd, he leads his sheep. So we spent a lot of time talking about John chapter 10, where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, they won't follow the voice of another." So now when Jesus leads his sheep, when they follow him, he takes them through a journey. That's why salvation is not a prayer that you pray. Salvation is a journey you walk out with Christ each and every day. It is a moment by moment spiritual decision you make in your heart. Will you follow him, or will you follow this world and the world system and that which is at enmity with God? And there are many instructions to us, even in the scriptures, about how this is a journey and not a single moment. So the children of Israel, God liberates them from Egypt, they go out into the desert, they question God, and they end up dying in the desert, never inheriting the promise, it goes on to the next generation. Though they were called by God to inherit a promise, they failed on their side to do what they were supposed to, and that went on to somebody else. And it's why Joshua even says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Because even after that generation went in and took the promised land, still even for them, they had to make a decision this day, who will they serve? Now, you and I are called by God to a journey. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Okay. So now it was difficult for Nicodemus to understand what Jesus was saying because he came from a particular background, a particular training. And his training, so much of it had to do with God giving natural examples of a spiritual reality, so he couldn't think past a natural way for everything, a carnal way for everything. He couldn't think past something happening in the natural. So when Jesus talked about being born again, he's trying to get his mind around somebody being born a second time. So he's literally thinking of somebody going back into the mother's womb. How could they do this? Nelson going back into the mother's womb to be born again. And so he's trying to wrap his mind around what Jesus is saying. The thing is that he knew Jesus was truth, even if he didn't understand it.
යේසුස්වහන්සේ කියන්නේ කියලා. මොකද ඔහු දැනගෙන හිටියා ඔහුට කිව්වද තේරුනේ නැති උනත් යේසුස්වහන්සේ කිව්වද ඇත්ත කියලා.
See, that's what I like about Nicodemus here. Even though he didn't understand it, he knew that truth was there. He knew who he was standing in front of. That was truth. And so he didn't reject the truth just because it didn't make sense to his little peanut brain. You know how many people do that? How many people reject the truth just because it doesn't make sense to them? Because they think that they are the smartest thing that's ever lived throughout all time and eternity and space. And in their 18 years, their 30 years, their 50 years, their 70 years, that they've mastered all things there is to know about everything. And so if they can't understand it, then it that can't be true. How many people with all these certificates on their wall, they act like that? But Nicodemus was smart. Those people are very stupid. Nicodemus was smart. Because he recognized that even if he didn't understand it, he knew truth, because he had a heart for truth, and he knew this was truth standing in front of him. Jesus Christ is the living embodiment of truth. He is truth brought into the world incarnate. So when somebody loves Jesus, they love truth. You know, that's a very easy way to find out if somebody knows Christ or not, if they love Him or not. Do they love truth? If you don't love truth, you don't love Jesus. Because He is truth. So if somebody comes up to you and says they're a Christian, well, do they love truth? Because at the same time, scriptures say that the devil is the father of all lies. And we know that the liar is outside the kingdom of God. So, you and I are truth people. And Nicodemus was a truth person. Now, he was dealing also with his limitations. Though he loved the truth, he was also afraid. He was afraid, what would the rest of these guys think of me if I talked to Jesus? So he came to him at night when nobody saw him. You know what? That's okay. You know, Jesus doesn't get mad at him. He doesn't say to him, how come you didn't come to me in front of everybody else? You, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. No, what Jesus does is he meets Nicodemus where he's at. You know, I get very tired of those emails that people send me that try to guilt you into forwarding it to 50 other people. You know those words. Oh gosh, what a time waster. You see the, it's this big log, 15 pages. And then at the close of it, it says, if you don't forward this to 15 people in the next 5 minutes, then, you know, you're ashamed of God. And God says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So people forward, they don't want to go to hell. I don't forward those. I spare you from those. God's not an email. And He's not spamming His people. He's not spamming. He's not giving people junk mail. No, Jesus meets Nicodemus where he's at. You know, the point is that Nicodemus, the second that a person takes a step towards God, a step towards truth, he meets them right there. You know, I have a good friend in the States who's a pastor, wonderful man. And he said, you know what you do? He said, you know what you do? You take, here is you, all of you that you know. And you meet, and you take all that of God that you know. And you bring those together, God meets you right there every time. It's true. Wherever you are, in whatever place you are in whatever limitations you may have, that's okay. Broken, beaten, tired, afraid, hungry. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. No, yeah, he didn't say, come unto me, all you who have finally got it all together, you've fixed everything, you put all the pieces in place, and now you're spit polished and ready to go, come talk to me. No, God takes us where we are at. If you come to Him with an honest heart, with a direction for truth, now, He doesn't leave you there. And thank God for that. What He does is He begins a process in you as you walk this journey out with Him. And the scriptures tell us that He that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Okay, so verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is Jesus speaking, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, we are spirit people. We're not flesh people. You know what a flesh person is, right? A flesh person is a very carnal person. A flesh person looks for all that is in the natural. So everything that comes with the five senses, that's what the flesh people will focus on. What you can see, what you can hear, what you can touch, what you can smell, what you can feel. And the life of a flesh person is focused on what you can count, on quantity, on substance. The life of a flesh person. Is focused on what you can count, on quantity. A spirit person, the life is focused on quality. God is focused on quality. God is not focused on the things that the world focuses on. All these pastors are coming back to me right now. Another friend of mine who's a pastor, one time he was saying, you don't want, what you want is not money. He said, what you want is a fulfilled life. And see, what the world thinks is if they can get enough money, that then they will be able to buy a fulfilled life. It doesn't work. They're all miserable. And they've chosen to be miserable. Because the day that you reject Jesus Christ, you choose to be miserable. You choose to be unfulfilled within your soul. When you reject Christ, you choose to have a gaping hole within your spirit that nothing in this world will ever be able to fill. You know, while I was traveling, I saw a boat in one of these countries that I was in. It was a yacht. I was told the yacht was worth $150 million. $150 million. One boat. And a friend of mine who knows boats says in order to keep a yacht, any of these boats going, the average cost, it costs about 15% of the total cost of the vessel per year to maintain it.
දැන් මේ වගේ බෝට්ටුවක් අයිති කෙනෙක් සාමාන්‍යයෙන් ඒක දිගටම කැඩෙන්නේ නැතුව හදලා පරික්ෂා කරලා මේන්ටේන් කරනවා කියන්නේ ඒ වගේ තියාගන්නේ අවුරුද්දකට යනවලු මේකේ
So if that's correct, it costs over $1 million a month just to keep that boat on the water. Over $1 million a month just to keep the boat on the water. Interesting world we live in, isn't it? And in actuality, with all the news about Haiti and everything that's gone on, it's probably the value of maybe two of those boats that might have reached the people of that country over all of the talk and all of the news that's gone on. Maybe. Amazing, isn't it? Now, here's the thing. All that goes on around us, if you have to keep your eyes on the Spirit of God. Because if you look at the world for what it is apart from Him, it can do a lot of things to you. It can make you angry, it can make you bitter, it can make you afraid. It can seduce and draw you in. Oh, wouldn't you like to go on the boat? Very beautiful boat, amazing. The Spirit of God, God calls His people to focus their eyes on Him. See, His petition to His sheep, keep your eyes on Me. Whatever's going on around you, whether it's a difficult time, whether it's a prosperous time, you know a prosperous time is actually very dangerous for the body of Christ? You know, we do very well in difficult trials and tribulations when you're struggling and you have to pray and you're trusting God. But when things get easy and there's abundance and people start to get soft and they start to get lax and they start to just, they get distracted. The church becomes no longer who they are, but something that they do. It's something they do between the soccer game and the evening lunch with their friends. No, no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation, no matter what external environment that life finds you in, that God puts you in, always focus your spirit, your heart, your attention on Jesus. Now when you do that, God leads you. See, the leadership of Christ reflects the Lordship of Christ. If God is not leading you, He is not your Lord. It's very simple. If people are being led by what's in the newspaper, by what's on the television, by what another person tells them, they're not being led by the Spirit of God. You know, even with people that speak as the Spirit of God leads them to speak, you know, even as I do this morning, what God has me to say should be a confirmation in your spirit of what God is already working with you on. It should resonate with your spirit within. Something, it's like a chord inside that there's a harmony in your spirit. It's not something that makes sense to your mind up here. It's something that it resonates with who you are within right here. So even as Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, it will flow, it will match the flow of what God is doing through you. So, as kingdom people, we're led by the Spirit. Now, when Jesus was talking in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now that's an amazing indicator of what God's people are like. Who can tell where the wind is coming from and where it goes? Can you? No. But we see the effects of the wind. We can see what the wind does. How many of you have seen a typhoon? Powerful wind. And a gentle breeze that can cool and can soothe. On a hot day, God's people are like the wind. We move where the Spirit leads us. Does the wind always go in the same direction? No. In fact, why do the fishermen go out in the night? Oh, this should be easy. We've been here on the beach for how many years? 20, 30, almost 30 years. Because they can see the net in the morning. That's part, probably. Yes, A plus. Because at, during the day, small lesson. During the day, the land heats up, and the water heats and cools more slowly, right? And then at night time, the land cools very quickly, but the sea is more warm because it absorbed that heat, but it lets it off slower. And so because the land gets cooler and there's heat in the water, that the wind pushes from the cool to the heat, so it goes that way. The fishermen go in fisherman hours, 3 in the morning, because the wind is going that way. And then they come back in, because when they come in, it switches. Now the land gets hot, the wind is coming the other way, onshore winds. So offshore winds, onshore winds, cross shore winds. I learned that in science, yes, back in grade school. In Sri Lanka. Yes. So, score 1 for the educational system. The wind changes direction. And see, God's people, we're very fluid people. We go where the Spirit of God leads us. See, that's why it's so important for us to be in step with what the Spirit of God is doing right now. Because what God was doing yesterday, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, is not what He's doing today. This is very, very important for us to understand this. God is doing something today that His people need to be in step with. See, that's why you shouldn't take a sermon from 20 years ago, which was probably some great sermon, polish it off, and think reading it today will have the same effect. Now let me clarify. The Spirit of God may be in that work. God may have blessed that. But God is doing something right now with His people. And while you can draw on the wisdom of the past, while you can learn from those that have come before, the great cloud of witnesses that have come before, you and I pick up where they left off. And we run the race that handoff comes to us. Have you watched those relays in the track and field when they have those big sports games? We have them with the kids sometimes, right? So they run them in the circle, and if somebody goes really fast, so they pass to the next person. When they pass the baton, does the person turn and go back to where the other guy just came from? No, that would be pretty stupid. But there's a lot of people that do that. No, they take the baton and they keep running the race. So we take the baton from those that have come before us. And as you and I are led by the Spirit of God, even as God moves the wind, God moves us. Yeah. We fulfill God's plan, God's purpose for His people in this time, in this generation. Because God is right now. God is I am. He is the God of the living. And you and I are alive in Christ Jesus. Called to a kingdom work. And equipped and empowered by the Spirit of God for this purpose. So, enjoy the race. Love God's people and bless one another in Jesus' name. And I will stop. To the song of children, chanty, panty, breath, and kisses, that's the songs of all alone. You keep knocking, but there's nobody home. You can knock, 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 but there's nobody home. Oh, oh, oh. Wandering through this world, we are all just boys and girls. Many names of one God, trotting low through the facade. You will pull my children, gotta dig for that.